Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and I'm Debbie Perkins with the Hollywood Red Carpet Radio Show. And tonight I have Jose Santiago Jr. Tonight, what a great show. I'm so excited. Welcome to the show. I'm sorry. I almost messed that up again.
That's all right. That's all right. Everybody does. Everybody does.
Because you have a very nice name, and it's I've seen now that is it's Latino, right?
Yes, that's Puerto Rican and Mexican.
Really? That's incredible.
Yes, my mom is Mexican, my dad is Puerto Rican.
Oh, nice. How did they get to meet?
They actually met at a bank. My dad moved from Puerto Rico to Chicago back in the early 60s or 50s. He was very
young.
That is
so cool.
My mom worked at the bank as well. They met, and back then it was kind of voodoo for Puerto Ricans and Mexicans to get along, let alone get married.
Right.
But they made it work, and here we are.
Oh, they fell in love is what happened. There's no boundary when you fall in love. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the Romeo Juliet scenario, and it works. And are they together still?
Yes, they are. They're 48 years or 49 years strong.
Congratulations to them. You know, that's a huge feat. Today's day.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
I've been married and divorced twice, so that is a huge feat.
and they're together still. But that must make you feel really special that your parents hold on no matter what. Thick and thin.
Yeah, you know they do. It's a good thing to hold on to, and they're good for each other. They're meant for each other, so you know.
That's exactly.
I'm just happy to be a small part of that. You know.
You are a huge part of that. You're their pride and joy.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I know they're happy.
I hope so. That's awesome. Now, did you grew up liking television? That I remember. Did you grow up thinking you were
going to
be an actor?
No, I didn't. I had no inclination. I had no desire. I had no idea of what was about to happen to my life in 2012 when everything changed. I was just your average kid. You know, I grew up in the neighborhood of East Chicago, Indiana. Everybody says Chicago. But I always got to make everybody clear. I am not an actor from Chicago. I am an actor out of East Chicago, Indiana, which is just southeast of the city of Chicago, right on the border of Indiana and Illinois. That's why they kind of say Chicago. But no, I'm not from Chicago. My dad's from Chicago. My family's from Chicago. But I was born and raised in East Chicago, Indiana. I'm very proud of that. A small city here by the lake, Lake Michigan. And, you know, I had a life like everybody other kid did. You know, we played outside and we stood out until the street lights came on, and then we went home, and things were different
kids
back
outside.
Then.
Kids don't want to go anymore.
Life was simpler.
And,
life was more simpler back then.
We didn't have video games. We had television, but it was there was only certain programs, and there was nothing in the daytime. Not for children.
After 10 o'clock at night, if you remember correctly, Walter Cronkite used to come on after the news and say, "Good night, America, and God bless."
Yes, he did.
And then you would get the American flag, and then it would be.
Yes, you did.
TV runs 24/7. I remember that too. I loved it. I loved those times.
It's humbling to go back and think what it was like to be a young kid back when we were young, because I think that. We were very lucky because we know what it's like to race for a phone, get on that phone if you beat everybody to it, and then if your mom and dad were nice enough to get you a long cord on that phone.
Oh yeah, you could walk around the house with that long cord.
Right. Yes, exactly. But if you didn't, you were stuck next to that phone and you couldn't move till your call was over.
Right, exactly.
That's so funny. I used to sit down the phone.
And here we are now. We got phones in our pockets and phones in our ears.
Phones everywhere.
On, you know?
Your car can be a phone. Everything can be a phone now. Computer, you know. I believe that George Jetson world would come to pass, but I didn't think it would happen in 20 years. You know?
Well, you had Dick Tracy talking on a watch phone and looking out.
He did too, yeah. Yes. But I got one of those smart watches. Did you ever get one of those smart watches? And the phone worked.
I did, and I couldn't figure it out, so I got rid of it.
Yeah, your phone had to be near you, and it had to be close to you. So, I mean, you already have your phone with you. So, mm-hmm. It was just like, it wasn't even a good product at that time. I think until they can actually make it more futuristic, I think it's not going to catch on because you carry that phone of yours everywhere.
Right, you know? Exactly.
But anyways, let's get back to you. Now, when you grew up, did you ever do theater? How did you decide that you were interested in being an actor?
Well, when I was in high school, you know, when I was a kid, I was always the class clown. I was making people laugh, and I always kind of liked limelight. But when I was in high school, I took drama class for a couple of years, and I really enjoyed it. Fortunately, I had a child at a young age. I had my daughter, Ariel. I was right out of high school. So as far as any kind of dreams or aspirations or whatever I wanted to do, I put everything on hold. And then I had four more kids behind her. Three more kids behind her. So it was her and her three brothers. And this year I just found out that I have another daughter. She's 30 years old. She's my oldest daughter. And my life is completely full right now. It's complete.
That's amazing.
Complete. She's 30 years old. She lived in Vegas with her mom all her life. She just moved back here a year and a half. And I lost out on 30 years of her life, but I gained a very beautiful loving young woman as my oldest daughter. And so and my daughter who thought she was the oldest is now the second oldest, and she welcomed her sister in with open arms, and they are together. They are inseparable now. I mean,
that's
you gotta
amazing.
Admit 30 years is a long time for this kid not to be with her family and not know about us until this year when I made the jump to find this girl, because I saw a picture of her and I thought that this daughter out in Vegas, and I said, what the hell is my daughter doing out there? I went to look at the picture. It wasn't the daughter that I raised.
No way.
It was another girl who looks, yeah. I saw a picture of her on Instagram. Yes, I saw the picture on Instagram, and when I saw the picture, I went back to look at it, and it was a girl who looks exactly like my daughter, but her name was Jessica.
Oh, my gosh.
I looked up her mom, and her mom was somebody I had a thing with when I was 16.
No kidding.
Yeah. So my daughter's 30 years old.
But you know what, though? There's plenty of time to make a lot of new memories. Not only will they be new, but your entire family will be included. And she didn't just gain a dad. She gained an entire family.
Yes, she did. She gained a sister, three brothers, three nieces, a nephew, and so on. She gained a lot of people.
Yeah, and
she was an only
child,
so she had no
and a stepmom, and another mom. Wow, you don't get any better than having a loving family except you. To be honest,
right? Exactly.
That's just such a gift.
So
wow, to have
right, and so to get back to the acting, it wasn't planned.
Yeah.
I mean, I had kids, so I just started to. Work and work and I did multiple jobs. I worked at the refinery. I worked at the steel mills. I worked at the railroad. I worked construction. I drove a truck. But then I found that cooking was my love and my passion. And I went to school when I was about 27 or 28 and went to school in New York and became a chef, an executive chef. And I worked that career for 14 years.
That's awesome.
It was crazy. But I had worked that career ever since my daughter was born. But it was always a side job as a chef, as a cook. It was a side job. I had regular jobs. But I remember when I actually did start my chef career, my daughter was about, I don't know, I want to say four or five years old, something like that. And then out of the blue, one day, my daughter tells me, hey, are you going to be home this weekend, Dad? And I said, oh, I don't know why. She's like, well, I'm graduating. And I was taken back by graduating. I'm like, oh, what are you graduating? She's like, high school. And I'm like, okay. So 14 years of her life, I spent in the kitchens and cooking and just doing a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. I should have been paying attention at home. So that hit me like a ton of bricks, and I decided that was it. I was going to quit, and I was going to resign from being a chef. But I did that same day. I went to work the next day and resigned. So now I was out of work looking around, and then I got the job at the railroad, and I made great money. I was miserable. I was never home with my kids. I was always over the road. I left there, and I got a job at the steel mill here, a local steel mill here in Indiana, U.S. Steel, one of the biggest steel mills in the country. And everything was going good, and it's just, you know, it wasn't for me. My grandfather worked at the mills all his life. He died from all the fumes and the coke and the dust, and so, you know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be around. And come 2012 is when everything turned around. There was an armed bank robbery at a local bank, my mom's house, and I happened to have pulled up that morning to go visit my mom. And I got involved in the armed bank robbery. I helped save a police officer's life by chasing down two armed robbers, unarmed myself, and hitting them with my truck, spinning them out, and then the police capturing them and getting the money. And the story, it's really deep in the story.
That's really
it's in my
awesome.
Bio on. Yeah, it's my bio on my IMDb. It's really crazy. But after that day, my phone started ringing from casting places, and I'm like, I'm not no actor, just an out of work railroader, you know.
Right.
And
you didn't see that
next thing you know,
at all?
I started. Yeah, I never did it since high school. I didn't do acting since high school,
right.
So I don't know anything about it. And now they said, come on set
right.
and do this and did background, and that was it. It went from there.
Oh my gosh, totally amazing! What a cool story you have. It's book worthy.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, it is. That's what my agent, both my agents, said the same thing.
It's book worthy. Well, those are really cool, humble beginnings. Everybody's got their own story, but sometimes the story just makes you go, "Wow!" You know, because your story is real. It's reality. It's the real world.
Right, right.
Well, I love it. I think that's very humbling. Mm-hmm. And when you did a little acting in school, and then all of a sudden, now you become an actor. What was one of your first projects that you got to do? And what do you feel like you learned from that experience being your first time? Because, I mean, if anything, we all have nerves. And
right.
Not always of steel, especially when you're doing something new. But what was your first experience with the acting?
Well, I was a background actor for a couple episodes on Chicago Fire, and I didn't like it. I told the director, they brought me on as like a guest because of the story they read in the paper about this guy who chased down these armed bank robbers, caught the bank robbers, saved the cops' lives, got the key to the city, got an FOP award. An everyday real life hero. And I'm like, I'm not a hero, man. And so when I got to meet the actual cast of Chicago Fire, Jesse Spencer, Taylor Kenny, all of them, Monica Ramon, they were all just like clapping when I came in. He's like, this is the guy I was telling you guys about. He's one of our background actors. And they're like, dude, they go, man, you know, you're awesome. I said, you know, you guys do a good job from what I hear. I don't ever watch the show because I don't watch TV, but I hear it's the number one show on NBC. And they're like, dude, we play heroes. You're an actual hero, a real life hero. And it's good to have you on our set, you know? And it was kind of nice to watch these guys work or these ladies work. And, you know, the background thing wasn't for me. So I did it for 3 days, and I told the director, I said, you know, I appreciate this opportunity, but this ain't for me. I'm not doing this crap anymore. And the director's name at the time was Tom DeCilio. Tom DeCilio has been the director of Chicago Fire for multiple seasons. So he said, hold on, just come tomorrow. I said, no, you know, I don't want to be going back and forth and back and forth and like a little blur. He's like, no, just come tomorrow and I'll take care of it. So I came in the next day and he's like, I'm going to put you in a firefighter suit. I said, but I'm not a firefighter. He goes, you are now. And he goes, and not only that, but you'll be a featured firefighter with the rest of the cast and the crew in multiple episodes.
That's
and
awesome.
I said, okay. So the money went up a little bit and it was fun. It was great. I was working 12 hours on set and I was working 12 hours at the steel mill. So I was getting no sleep. I was burning the candle at both ends. Getting any sleep. But I loved what I was doing. I started to love it. And then I did some independent films and some independent shows, which I really loved. I got my first paid booking gig as a chef, which is what I used to be, on a Hellman's commercial, and I got that. That was really good. After I had a little hiatus, and I came right back full circle, and I auditioned for the role of Steve on Chicago Fire, and I booked it. And that was my first speaking role. So within a year and a half, 2 years, I went from background to speaking just like that. And
wow.
It was funny because Tom DeCilio was the actual director of that of that season, and he was sitting in on my audition, and he just gave me the look like he remembered me. And at the end of my audition, I told him, thank you very much for your time. Have a great day. God bless. And I walked out. He came out, and he's like, I know you from somewhere. I said, yeah, I'm the guy you put in the firefighter suit. He's like, he goes, the hero. And I said, nah, just a regular guy. He goes, well, don't worry about it. You're a hero now. And I got the role, you know, and it took off from there. Chicago Fire, Sinister 2, multiple of my own TV series, No Chirac, which is on an independent app network, the Indie Network app. There's a full season. There's a full season on there. And then there was, what else came after that? A couple other things came after that. It was a lot of
That's
things.
Really
and
amazing.
Next thing you know, it was just so many I couldn't keep up. But the biggest one was Chicago PD, season 6, episode 3, Bad Boys, where I played Johnny Marquez, where they introduced Johnny Marquez as a recurring guest star character. But you haven't seen Johnny Marquez on it because everything happened. So now we're all up in limbo right now.
Well, yes, everybody is. But that doesn't mean that your character is going to do some really... I think once this is over, it's going to be incredible work coming out. There are going to be movies and television shows where all the people that have been down, you know, during the covert have done nothing but think about new ideas, refresh their brains. You know, they're coming back like being on vacation.
Right.
So
right.
They're all rejuvenated and they're ready to roll. You watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a phenomenal year for actors and especially movies. I don't know so much about people going into the theaters. I'm not sure how that's going
right.
to work. But I've still
right,
been
yeah,
driving.
Right, yeah, that's the other thing, too. But it's
I've
crazy.
Still been
Everything's
driving.
Really crazy right now.
If they could make a drive-in theater that we all could go to, because, I mean, really, if you park your car in a drive-in theater, you're about that distance away from someone. For
right,
the most part.
Right.
And your radio picks up all the sound. So I think drive-in
yes.
theaters will still have a place, in, even though they've been around forever, and they were going out of style, I still think they're going to give a great date night. Now we just
yeah.
need to get waitresses to go up to the cars and take orders, and now we got a full-fledged restaurant slash... some. There was a few restaurants that were like that. You could watch a movie in the restaurant
yeah.
and eat. I wish they'd have done more of that, but now look at that. That would have been going out by the wayside. But
right.
no, I think drive-ins will be what we are going to be comfortable with. I think
well, that
would
be good. I mean, you know, they need to reopen a lot of drive-ins. This country closed down hundreds of thousands of drive-ins, and I thought it was
pretty sad
because the movie theaters opened up. Well, guess what? Now, because of COVID, a lot of the hundreds of thousands of movie theaters have shut down.
Yeah, because nobody wants to sit next to somebody coughing. I mean,
right.
Fear of a cough. When we all have respiratory things here and there throughout the year, because some of us have allergies, you know what I mean? Like, whether you're allergic to hay fever or something. And then all of a sudden,
yeah.
You go to a theater and you sneeze or you cough, and the whole theater starts to get all panicked. Time for everybody to leave, you know? So
right.
I'm still
right.
thinking that the privacy of our vehicles and homes is going to be where we're going to catch all the good stuff. But thank goodness you're doing something that's all on the television. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes, yeah, I do. I do. And I also own my own construction business, which keeps me very, very occupied.
I think that's a bonus. It's always good to have something else to back you up. Set
yep.
plan B, or I don't know if they call it plan B, but I always think that it's always good to have more than one career, because you never know when you need to fall back on something.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you already knew that. You already
oh, yeah.
knew that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter. I've been knocked down many a times, hundreds of thousands of times, and I keep getting back up. And people are just like, just stay down. And I said, no, I'm not ready to die.
No,
I'm ready to die.
No.
I'll stay down until I'm ready to
they
die.
Don't know
keep fighting
you.
To get back up.
They don't know
right.
you.
They don't know how.
They don't know you.
Yeah,
at
they don't
all.
Know the fighting instinct, the fighter's instinct in me. I just keep fighting. That's what I know.
You got the Rocky Balboa fighting instinct, to be honest.
You know, I would love to work with Sylvester Stallone.
Wouldn't that be something? You
just
and him
like
together?
I would,
oh my gosh. That
yeah,
would be
yeah. well,
two
people,
powerful
people
men.
Say I sound like him sometimes.
You,
know?
You do
people say you,
you do
would,
have a
your voice.
Yeah, you do have a
him.
Voice. Your voice is a lot like him. If you had his accent, then you'd be done. You know, people would think you were him.
Right. Well, yeah, if I had his Bronx accent, his Philadelphia accent.
You might
accent,
have to
you know?
Get yeah. You know, play with that every now and then and see what happens when you do something. See if somebody thinks that you're...
Yeah, well, you know,
because
when
it,
I was a kid,
I watched
all the movies, you know.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Rocky Balboa. I love Sylvester Stallone. He's a great guy. You know, I like Vin Diesel. I like The Rock. I like these guys. These guys are good guys, you know. It's just I wish they would use their platforms for other things besides the politics. You know, Everybody's jumping on the politic bandwagon, and I won't do that. I won't touch politics. That's not my business.
Me either.
I'm not a politician, so I can't touch
either.
It. So they said, well, what do you think? I said, I don't know what I think. I'm not a politician. No one's paying me to
yeah.
tell people lies.
And,
I don't know. I don't.
And,
I don't
and not
do
only
it.
That, it leads to controversy because no matter what you say, someone is going to say, oh, I don't like them, or and then you just want to walk away and go, you know what? I do not want to have this discussion. And I get it.
Right.
I don't do it either. I don't think it's anybody's business who we vote for or we don't vote for. It's none of their business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody's business, but yet everybody makes it their business.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, that's when you get to say, no, that's my private vote, and that's what I get to have. That's my choice.
That's right.
And
right.
what
Absolutely.
Wins, they win either way. I wouldn't want their job.
No, I would not want to be the president of the United States. That's
I would
got to
not
be the hardest
want
job in the
their
world.
Job. I don't care if it comes with that castle or not. I wouldn't want that
yeah,
job.
No.
Because
I'm good at being an actor.
Of,
I'll play a president, but I wouldn't want to be a president.
You know, that would be an awesome president. Why not?
Yes. Yeah. First Latino president.
You know what? They haven't done that. Ooh, this is a movie idea.
There you go. There you go.
Then
yeah,
it might be
it
a manifestation. You know what? That would be so cool. And then it would be like a manifestation of it. And then all of a sudden.
Exactly.
You're a politician.
We wrote it. We acted it. And now we brought it to fruition.
It would happen. Because if you think
yes,
about
it,
they've been, they're talking about having a woman. But I don't know. I'm still not sure if I would be happy with. I don't think I'd be happy with a woman in the United States office right now. I don't think that that's a good place for a woman right now. That's just me. I mean, there are a lot of women out there
right.
that scream at me and say, Yes, there is, but you know what? I'd like to see them do it. So if they think they can do it,
go for it.
I guess that I kept my mouth shut before I put my foot in it.
Don't do that. They don't want you to cancel your show.
Oh my gosh. So do you do your own stunts?
Yes, at the beginning I was doing my own stunts. But as it's a very sensitive line that they don't want you to cross in Hollywood and Chicago and in Atlanta and everywhere else where they're filming. Once you get to a certain point where people are looking at you for you, they don't want you getting hurt. So they will make sure you can do the small little stunts, but like the big stunt that might cause injury, they are adamant about bringing in a stunt double. They're like, no, he's not going to do his own stunts. And it's like, I can do that. No, you're not going to do it, because if you get hurt, then you can't finish the movie or you can't finish the TV series. And I get it. They're looking out for the well-being of the actors, but you know, there's some actors like myself who would just love to bust through a glass window and jump out of a building, and you know, I don't know, but they just want to make sure that we're not.
But you want to get that. But then again, you know what? You got. I guess we could think of it like this: is a stuntman has a job, and it's a job, so it's just another part of the team.
That's his job. That's what he
gets paid
to do.
Making money, doing his thing. Yeah.
Let him do it. You know, that's what he gets paid
to
do. Let
him light himself on fire. Exactly. But fight.
Oh, I'm not gonna do that. No, that's something I would not do. Because with my luck, it would probably go wrong and I would burn my body up. So no, I wouldn't want to do that one.
Fight
scene. I get why all the safety precautions and everything else. I get why they're all in play. It's basically to keep the actors safe.
Too dangerous. Looks dangerous to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see some guys, they like themselves on fire and they can't get them out. So, you know, to me, it's a catch-22. You can't win, you can't lose. But they're the professionals, and that's what they do. And they get burnt. That's what they get paid for. Pretty much.
Exactly.
What types of roles do you find yourself being directed towards? Mostly professional roles?
It's a lot of the, you know, we do get a lot of the cartel roles. It's a slew of different roles, but I'm more drawn to the bad guy type, the villain, you know, because everybody loves the villain, but everybody hates the villain. So it's kind of like, it's a back and forth thing. So, you know, I do love also trying to play the guardian or somebody who's, how could you say it, more sympathetic, more heart-driven, more of a caring, loving person. I have yet to play that guy yet, but my cousin and I, JT Campos, who plays Boaz on Queen of the South, we are actually writing a couple scripts now about what we want to showcase to our fans and our audience that we're not always the bad guys, the cartel. Although we do play those roles very well. But we want to show a more softer side, a more gentler side, a more caring side of our skill. You know, we want to broaden our horizons.
Well, yeah, you play a bad guy enough times, people would like to know, can you actually play a good guy?
Right.
Or a lead character.
And that's what we want to do.
Have you thought about stuff like that, like dramas that are where you'd become a lead character for maybe in a love interest or, you know what I'm saying, something a little
more
serious?
And that's basically what we're trying to write up. We're trying to write those up now as we speak. That you know, we want to get this on, you know, more of a romance type guy, romantic, even a bad guy turned good, you know, by fate or
that's
or,
not
or,
a bad
tragedy.
Idea. And I think it's very encouraging for younger people to see, because you know, girls will fall in love with a movie like that. Period. Because they all like romance. and the boys have to watch it with them. And no matter how tough a guy is, I bet you almost every boy in America has seen the Titanic.
Right.
Just saying. 3-hour film, and it's a romance story. But we've all seen it. Why?
Yeah.
Because we fall in love with the characters. Of course we care about what happens in the tragedy part, but we fall in love with the characters. We learned about some of the characters that we didn't even, you know, that were real, that we wouldn't have never known. But I think that's pretty neat that you'd be willing to try that. Probably have to do mask kissing at first.
They're getting away from that too in Hollywood. They're getting away from all the sexual scenes because of all the Me Too movement and all the sexual harassment that's been going on. So what we've been told, and I've gotten the email multiple times, is that they are going to start going with either body doubles for all those scenes or CGI.
Really?
That's not gonna look realistic.
But then you know what? That takes away from the actor being able to master the craft, because the whole point behind being, you know, that particular person is to experience and to feel it, just like God was in the room, you know, experience the entire thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's you know, I think you might be able to fight it on just different directors, depending on, you know, what their interest is and how much money they put into the budget. Usually that's probably how it works out. It could be a budget.
That's how it works.
Issue.
I mean, it's all about the money and the budget and what they got, what they can afford. I'm in this movie called Concrete Rose, which is the very first all Latino cast movie, 100% Latino cast movie coming out of South Bend, Indiana. And, John Villanueva, an absolute amazing, amazing guy. I fell in love with this guy. His passion and his eye and just his vision. He's a musician. He's a director, producer, a writer, a father, and a business owner. And this guy has put together a stellar cast of Latin actors to play these roles. All these roles are based on true life events that happened to him. So it's really, really interesting. And this movie's going to be epic. You're going to have myself
in
there.
That feels really good, though, to finally do something.
It is.
With all Latinos. I mean, it's not racist. It's not. Because there's not a lot of... anything. You're right. You're probably just got the Guinness Book of World Records for the first full cast. If it's a full cast, you probably
The whole cast, the crew, they're all Latinos.
It might be the first Guinness Book of World Records. You might want to take a group shot and put in for it, because you might be the first group to ever do something like that. That's really
exactly.
Cool.
So the character I play in the movie, his name's Gabriel, and what he does, he is the underboss to the boss. Without giving the story away, Gabriel has a history, and his best friend was murdered. The kid that falls in love with the cartel boss's daughter happens to be his best friend's son, but he doesn't know until he hears him play a certain song that his best friend used to play, because his best friend was also a musician. So now his whole demeanor of being the underboss and the ball breaker and the murderer and the hitman now takes a different toll, and he has to change, and he starts to try to protect this young man. But, you know, it's a really good love story.
That's cool.
It's got a lot of twists and turns. It's going to leave you wanting more. And the way did this, It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be epic, and I can't wait for it to come out. Either later this year or the first of next year. Yes,
so
you'll be out of your seat.
Leaving a door open so that he can revisit that in a second film later on down the road?
It probably won't be a sequel, knowing what's going on in this film right now, but they could be the prequel to how this all started up.
I think so. I think that would be a great idea to do it again, because then you'd be the second only Latino cast. Just saying,
right.
It's a great idea. So I hope that he thinks ahead and puts that in there, because wouldn't that be neat to have all of you guys, all of you, you know, the whole crew in that book.
Yeah.
As a record.
Yep.
That's record setting. Wow.
Right.
Wow. That's so cool. I'm just impressed.
It's gonna be really nice.
What are some of your things? You know, you were a chef. Have you ever had to play that on television? I think that you would be almost a natural at telling everybody.
I had my very first chef commercial when I booked out Chicago Fire. I booked out a Hellman's commercial, and I did my very first chef's commercial. So it was natural. They're like, this dude's natural. He's an actor. And she's like, no, he needs to be an actual chef. They're like, that's why he's so damn good at it.
Yes, and you know everything that you needed to know. And
right. I knew how to run the slicer. I knew how to chop, use the knife, and then, you know,
it was good.
It was a good thing.
Oh, there's nobody that can use a knife better than a chef.
Right.
When they're dicing, it's really
amazing.
Right.
Slice and dice.
I'm humble too. I worked in the restaurant, so I know on the other end, I was a wait staff, but you were the chef, and we had more respect for the chef than anybody in the whole house. That chef was responsible for you making your customers happy.
If they're not happy, you're not going to be happy.
Right. And you know, you don't want to go back to the table and like, well, this isn't right. And then you got to take it back. And nothing makes a chef more mad than when the steak is not quite done, but yet they order it that way. If it's ordered as
right.
And I want to tell everybody, you know, when you order a steak a specific way, that's how you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going to send it back to the kitchen.
Absolutely.
That means, you know, that just gives much more work for the chef back there, because he's probably preparing 50 other plates besides the one he already sent out with you. And trust me, everything's timing. But it's still pretty interesting that you had such humble start. Have you actually played like a parent role in a film yet?
Not in a film, but I did do a PSA, a public service announcement, where I played a father to a daughter who was abusing heroin, and unfortunately, the heroin took my daughter from me. So it was very touching, because I cried multiple times on set, and it wasn't just me crying; it was actual tears, because the gentleman who was the narrator of the PSA was the actual father of the daughter who overdosed on heroin.
Oh, no kidding.
So every time he talked, I could not compose myself to stop crying, because I thought of my daughter and my granddaughters and my sons, and I said, how? Why? I could never. This man has fought, and he's telling his daughter's story. And I was picked to play him in this PSA. So, I mean, it was very hard. Yes, it was, to compose myself and keep a professional outlook on this. But as a father, from one father to another, I felt every teardrop of every word that came out of that man's mouth. I mean, I don't know how he was just talking about it so nonchalant now. Maybe he's done it so many times, it's just now part of a story for him. But to hear him say it, knowing that that was his little girl, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart now thinking about it. But, I mean, that was the first time I played a parent, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. But I play a parent every day. I've been playing a parent for the last 30 years.
Oh, sure. And, well, I was just thinking it might be a little bit different than your own than your own children.
Yes.
But then again,
yes,
you probably put a little piece of the you dad in there to balance the balance and bring familiarity for you to make that character
right,
a little bit more believable, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you have to do that. You have to do that.
But I could see you doing a lot of things. I could totally see you in a movie like Clint Eastwood.
I love Clint Eastwood. I would love to work
where
with
it's a combination of a little bit of humor mixed with, but you know who you sound like? You sound like The Rock. That's what my brain keeps hearing, The Rock. Have you heard of that before?
A lot of people say that. A lot of people do say that, and I mean that's humbling. I think The Rock sounds more like me. I am older than The Rock, so I think The Rock sounds like me, but no.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, I get it. I mean,
I get
that a lot.
Oh my gosh.
It's very flattering and very humbling. It is.
And it's funny because I'm listening to you going, wow, how does he not notice he sounds like Dwayne Johnson? Oh my gosh.
I don't hear myself. I never replay anything I record. I leave it out on Instagram for the lives or the Facebook for the lives, and people are always, well, you know, I got my buddy was calling me La Roca, the Spanish Rock, and I'm like, no, let me have the Rock's
he's
money.
Not
and, you know,
far off.
But...
He's not far off. If you were to do a voiceover, people would honestly be like, but then again, you know, you want to know it's you because, you know, you are your own.
Right.
You are your own star, and you're working towards, well, once the COVID is lifted, you're going to be doing a lot more things. What are some things that you could see yourself doing in the future? Like, or what would you like to do? Like, if you could choose.
Well, I would love to get this COVID thing out of the way, first of all, then get back to work. I do have to actually record a couple of voiceovers for my agents and give them to them so they could pick out the best four. So they could put them on the IMDb, so they could put them on the Actors Access, on the casting networks, because they like we are getting tired of seeing a voiceover for a male with a very deep, raspy voice, and we can't send you because you don't have a voiceover reel. So I'm like, okay. So this weekend, I'm locking myself in my room here at the house, and I am going to dub some commercials and some other just some regular things, maybe a story time, you know.
I think you should use
different
accents. Do different accents.
Yes.
Well,
I'm
going to
do that. I'm
going to
do the Spanish accent.
And you definitely have that down. Do you speak Spanish?
Yes.
So if
yes,
you can speak Spanish, so if you really awesome lines, do you sing?
Everything's going to help. Everything will help. And I think once I get that done, things will start to move in a faster pace for me. And I'm ready for it. You know, I'm ready for it. Like I said, Concrete Rose is coming out. I have a movie that was a faith-based film called For Profit, where I actually played the chief of police. And
really?
It's been on hold because of COVID. It's in post-production. It's almost done. It should be done soon here. He just wants to be able to premiere it with the red carpet and the actors and the act, but he can't because of COVID. So he's holding on to it because I think what everybody needs is this faith-based movie because we are all struggling with demons, good and bad. And this movie is going to touch a lot of people, those who believe, those who don't believe. And there's another star-studded cast involved in it. I mean, there's a lot of people from L.A. in this movie, and I'm the chief of the police. And, you know, it's really good, and I'm just waiting to see
that's
it finally.
Cool.
So it's going to be like three projects coming out next year that I'm going to be in back to back to back. And it's
that's
just,
awesome.
You know, so, I mean, the more exposure on these, the better it is for me and my career. And that's what I'm here. I'm here to tell a story. I'm here to entertain, and I'm here to make people happy, you know, and I try to tell everybody every day, leave it with a smile, you know?
That's so awesome,
it doesn't hurt,
though.
It doesn't cost you a thing.
What did it feel like to play a cop?
You know, it was good. I mean, Trust me, I've been around cops all my life. I've been on the other side.
Usually
but
running,
I've been on the cop side all my life.
Running. You always make up.
Yeah,
yeah.
So now actually playing one was really, really good. It was it felt really good. Would I like to play a cop again? Absolutely. A detective? Absolutely. A lieutenant, a captain? Absolutely. I have a lot of respect for the police force. And unfortunately, in today's world, there's not that much out there. And I would love to showcase how good cops are good cops. There are good, there are bad. And
yeah.
Actually, we're getting ready to start filming another show in Chicago called Roman. And it's about two Chicago cops, one good, one bad, and they are both partners. I'm not sure which character I'm playing yet. I might get the bad guy, but I would like to play the good guy.
That would be cool.
But
you know,
it's gonna be a show where
it's
gonna be a show where I have to take down my partner. I have to find a way to take down my partner.
I was gonna ask you, would you ever be a killer? You just answered my question.
I don't mind. I would like that. I would really like to try that.
That would be a stretch, though. I mean, that would be a challenge.
You have to get it. That's something that you really have to study and get into. And you have to learn how to turn that person on and off. You can't live in that character for the whole time of filming. You cannot allow that to happen. And a lot of it we see happening today with actors and actresses. When they go into certain roles, they become that person. And then
right.
When the role is over, it's so hard for them to let go of that person that they go into depression and anxiety and solitude. And it's like, at the end of the day, I know that this is my job. It's like building a deck. I built this beautiful deck. Oh, my God, I love it. I love that deck until I had to build the next beautiful deck. You know, I learned how to turn it on and off. I can turn it on and off. Some people.
What about a war? What about a war movie?
I would love a war movie. My father was
a Vietnam
veteran.
I think
you'd
be great in a war movie.
My uncles were Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
You know.
I could.
Yeah,
totally
I would love
to do that. A war movie. Absolutely. So that would be a really good fit. That would be a good fit for you because you're strong, you're tall, you're in good shape, you're fit. You know what I'm saying? You basically.
Yes. And I wish more directors and producers in Hollywood would see that, you know, but they see when they see a Latino, they think of a chubby Latino, comic and all Latino, gangbanging Latino, tattooed Latino.
Right.
They don't. I don't. Okay. I don't see any Latino lead Latino action heroes or superstars. I don't see that. I see the typical comedian Latino, the chubby fat Latino, or the biker Latino, the gangbanging Latino. I see all that, but I have yet to see besides one Latino, Antonio Banderas. He played the mariachi.
He played
the hero. He played the hero in the mariachi, you know. But I have yet to see a lead Latino play an action hero movie. And I'm all about action. I love action. So
I would like to be
the first.
Oh, that would be great. You know, you should be getting a hold of that Robert Lasorda. You guys would be great.
Oh, Robert Lasorda's amazing. I was with him a couple years ago at a Comic-Con, and we're actually friends. I got his number. He's got my number. We talked.
He's the one who told me that. Yeah, he's really nice.
Yeah, he told me. Yeah, I saw that. Very great. Very, very God-loving man. Very, very great.
That's awesome.
And he's an amazing actor. He's underrated, and I think he should be in more films.
Just like you. Yeah, I mean, it's just.
But because of who we are and how what we believe in, Hollywood doesn't want us. They want the yes men. And we're not going to sell our soul just to make it in Hollywood. We'll make it our way.
Yeah.
We'll do it our way.
Well, that's get the soul. I mean, only got one. You know,
right. And I only got one, and I'm not giving it up.
And I'm not giving that up. If you could be a superhero, I do know this answer. But if you could be a superhero, which one would it be and why?
Iron Man.
I like
it. It would be the Iron Man.
The suit was pretty cool. Learning to fly.
I just thought, you know, I just thought that this guy with the brains and how he created this machine, and with this machine,
right.
he could be anywhere at any time to help and save people and to defend people. I just thought that that was probably the coolest action hero and superhero out there. Now, everybody's like, well, I want to be Superman because, you know, yes, but he has a weakness. I wanted to be someone who was normal, he was human. Now, if I had a choice between Superman, Batman, or the Incredible Hulk, I would definitely choose the Incredible Hulk. Because I would love to have that kind of power and rage to blow up, get 10 times as big as I am, and be that hero of a Hulk. But to be the superhero of my dreams, it would be to play the next Iron Man. Like Tony Stark's illegitimate brother.
Yeah. Oh, that would be neat. I know that Lucifer played the Hulk for a lot of years. When we were growing up.
He was the original Incredible Hulk. There was no CGI. It was all him.
You know, and that was totally believable, no matter however they did that movie magic. They really did a great job with that.
Right.
Let me think. What do I want to ask you? Do you have anybody that you'd like to shout out to?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I would like to give a shout out to my agent, Viva Riley and Michelle Hayes. Promote talent and hate talent. I would like to give a shout out to my a great friend and an amazing director, John Villanueva, for Concrete Rose, for giving me the opportunity. I started off as a cameo, and he loved my work so much that he wrote the whole movie and put me in the whole movie. Then I would also like to thank Tom DeCilio for giving me my shout on Chicago Fire, which also led to my arise in Chicago PD. My kids for being so supportive, my ex-wife, Abigail, for, even though she's my ex now, but I mean, she did put up with a lot while I was going through all these transitions and changes, and she's still by my side. She's my best friend right now. We're actually really good friends, and I would like to give her a thank you. My grandkids, Enrique Guzman, Raul Colon. I mean, there's a whole list of guys and gals that I would love to thank, but, right now I think I got them wrapped up in a nutshell of who I want to work with, who I'm comfortable working with, director Raul Colon, John Villanueva, and Tom DeCilio, Enrique Guzman, Danny Villegas, Marcos Burgos, some of those actors like that, Robert Lazaro, you know, just people who I know personally, Bishop Stevens, and I would love to work with these guys and on a project together, all of us, and let's create some magic.
I see that as being a total win every which way you look at it. That's amazing. I can't believe the time flew by so fast.
It does. It flies by quick.
It does that. It really does. But, you know, I think that it's just a matter of time. This is going to be over. You're going to be kicking movies left and right. Did you ever want to do more TV, or would you like to be focused on some more movies?
I like TV a lot. But I know on TV we get these hiatuses, and we're done for we get done in October, first week of November, and so we're home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and then we all return back to work. I kind of like that schedule. The movie season, I love movies. I love movies. And it's just an amazing, it's a different thing. Some actors are movie actors, and some actors are strictly TV actors. They can't cross over. I am fortunate enough to be able to cross over from both. And people are just they're like, how does he go from the TV into a movie? How does he do that? Well, I don't know. I don't personally know, but I have that gift, and you know, thank God for that. And I'm very happy. I'm just happy what I'm doing.
I'm really happy for you. I think this is great.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
So, anyways, wow, what an hour. What an hour of fun we had. Is there anything you would like the audience to know about you that we haven't covered?
Not really. It's my life's an open book. I really have no secrets or lies. I lived a lie for 20-something years, and I've talked about it and what's happened, and people always ask me, well, how did you come out of that? And I'm like, I'm standing in front of you now, ain't I? You know what? If you allow a tragedy or some kind of trauma to dictate your destiny, then you're only going to be on this place surviving every day. I live. I don't survive. And I tell everybody, I live my life to the fullest. I live it every day. And I'm just happy. You know, I'm happy. My life's an open book, which we are going to get ready to start writing the book. And it should be good. It should be good. It should answer every question that could come up in anybody's mind.
That's great. Let me know when that does.
It's going to be a tell-all.
I will help talk about that for you and get that advertisement going with you. That would be fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
I loved it. It was great.
I
really appreciated it.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored and humbled. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you back. I want to thank everybody else out there for listening tonight. And I also wanted to thank Brad Pittman for having me on his show today. It's going to come out in like a couple weeks or something. I'll let everybody know. It was an interview he did with me. So I was in your seat. I was in the hot seat today. And we'll see how how that one comes out, because I'm usually being the host. But it was a nice change to be in the guest seat. So and his show was called,
that's always good.
His show was called Smoked Meats. You'll have to ask him about the story behind that. It's very humbling. So it's not a weird thing. I was like, oh my gosh, smoked meat, what does that mean? It has a good meaning. And I'm really happy to have helped be a part of his program as well. With that, I want to say thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. Jose, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on. You have a wonderful night, darling.
You too, hon. All right. Everybody, thank you. And we will see you in a couple of days. I'll be back on. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night. http://youtube.com/c-c-JoseSantiago Jr.74. Please look that up on the YouTube channel. Also, please check out www.facebook.com/officialactorJSantiago. Please check him out there. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. We hope you are all well and staying safe. Bye now.